الإذاعة الإلكترونية لجامعة العلوم والتكنولوجيا تقدم اللغة الإنجليزية واحد، الإعداد والتقديم الدكتور بليغ الوصي. الهندسة الصوتية المهندس محمد العلي. الإشراف الدكتور سمير الشميري والدكتور محمد السيد. الإخراج رياض المحية.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear students, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the sixth session of this course, English 101. This is the last session of the course. In this session, we will discuss the following topics. Number one, comparisons. How to make the comparative and superlative forms of the adjectives. Number two, we'll cover some important punctuation marks like the colon, the semicolon, the apostrophe, and the inverted commas. But before we begin, let me give you a model for the vocabulary questions you may have. Take this exercise as an example. The question is, fill in the space with the most suitable words from the list. Here, you have a list or you have a box which includes some words. The words are unites, enforce, force, purposes, ownership, obviously, attempting. So you have to choose one word for each blank in the following sentences. Let's begin with number one. The United Nations has four main goals and dash. Now, which word is suitable here? It is the word purposes. So you can say the United Nations has four main goals and purposes. Number two, no member will use dash against another member. The best word here is the word force. No member will use force against another member. Three, the UN will not try to solve problems within countries except to dash international peace. So the best word here is the word enforce, except to enforce international peace. Number four, dash, the United Nations has not been completely successful in its goals. So the best word here is obviously. Obviously, the United Nations has not been completely successful in its goals. Number five, the UN held a large conference, you know, conference means meeting, on the uses and dash of ocean. So the best word is ownership, on the uses and ownership of ocean. Number six, nevertheless, the UN is dash to persuade nations to live together in peace. So the best word is attempting. Nevertheless, the UN is attempting to persuade nations to live together in peace. Number seven, it is the only organization that dash the word in the search for peace. The best word is unites, you can say, it is the only organization that unites the world in the search for peace. Now, that was an example of a vocabulary exercise. Now, let's begin discussing the two topics of this session. Topic number one, comparisons, the comparative and the superlative forms of adjectives and adverbs. You know, the comparative form is a comparison between two people or two things, whereas the superlative form is a comparison between one person and a group of people. You can say, he is taller than his brother. To compare the two persons here, he and his brother. But you can say, he is the tallest student in the class. To compare this student with the other students. Now let's have the rules in details. Number one, rule number one of the comparative and superlative forms. There are 3 degrees of comparison. The first degree is called the positive degree. Here, the base form of the adjective is used to compare between people. You can say, this place is dark, that place is not dark. This person is tall, that person is not tall, is short, for example. This session is useful, that session is not useful, useless, for example. So this is called the positive degree. Number two, the second form or the second degree of comparison is called the comparative form. In the comparative form, you have to add er to the adjective or the word more. You can say darker. That place is darker than this place. Taller. That person is taller than this person. More useful. The third degree of comparison is called the superlative degree. In the superlative form, you have to add est. Again, you have to add est. So the word dark, the adjective dark, what is the superlative form of the adjective dark? Darkest, est. Tall, tallest. Most useful, so either to add est or to write the word most before the adjective. Now, when to use er, est, and when should we use more or most? Let's have the other rules. Rule number two, one syllable adjectives form their comparative and superlative forms by adding er or est. If the adjective has only one syllable, you have only to add er or est. For example, the word bright is an adjective which has only one syllable. So if you want to make the comparative and superlative forms of this adjective, you have just to add er and est, and you have to say brighter, brightest. Similarly, the adjective new has only one syllable, so you can write newer as a comparative form, newest as a superlative form. Rule number three, adjectives of 3 or more syllables form their comparative and superlative form by putting more and most before the positive form. So the positive form of interesting, for example, you know, interesting is the positive form of this adjective. Don't say interestinger, adding er, or interestingest, adding est. No, you have to write more interesting in the comparative form and most interesting in the superlative form. Why? Because this adjective consists of more than 2 syllables, you know, interesting, there are 4 syllables in this adjective. Rule number 4, adjectives of 2 syllables follow one or other of the above rules. Those ending in full, so adjectives which have 2 syllables and they end in full, less, O-U-S, I-N-G, usually take more or most. You can say careful, more careful, most careful. Careless, more careless, most careless. Also, famous, more famous, most famous. Rule number 5, those ending in ER, Y or LY, you have to add only ER or EST. For example, clever, C-L-E-V-E-R. You can say cleverer. You have to add ER or EST. Now, what about adjectives which end with Y preceded by a consonant? We have to change the Y into I and then add ER or EST. For example, the adjective pretty, P-R-E-T-T-Y. So you have to write pretty in the comparative form as prettier. P-R-E-T-T-I-E-R. So we have to omit Y, change the Y into I, and then add E-R or E-S-T. Also the word holy, H-O-L-Y, it ends with Y preceded by a consonant. So the Y should be changed into I, and then E-R or E-S-T should be added. Holier, holiest. Rule number 6. Irregular comparisons. Some adjectives are irregular. They have their own comparative and superlative forms. For example, good. The comparative form for good is better. The superlative form is best. Bad. The comparative form of bad is worse. The superlative form is worst. Little. The adjective little has less as a comparative form and least, L-E-A-S-T, as a superlative form. The two adjectives many and much have more as a comparative form and most as a superlative form. The last adjective is far, further or farther, the comparative form, and farthest or furthest is the superlative form. Now let's have an exercise. Write the comparative and superlative forms of the following adjectives and adverbs. Number 1, slow, S-L-O-W. The comparative form is slower, add E-R. Superlative, slowest, add E-S-T. Funny, number 2, F-U-N-N-Y, funny. It ends with Y preceded by a consonant. So we have to change the Y into I and then add ER in the comparative form and EST in the superlative form. So we can say funnier, funniest. The same is with heavy, heavier, heaviest. Now what about important? Important consists of more than 3 syllables. We have to add more in the comparative form, most in the superlative form. We can say more important, most important. The same is in interesting and confusing. You can say more interesting, more confusing, most interesting and most confusing. What about clever? It ends with ER. You have to add ER in the comparative form and EST in the superlative form. You can say cleverer, cleverest. Now, the last adjective is good and bad. These are 2 irregular adjectives. You know, for good, the comparative form is better and the superlative form is best. For bad, the comparative form is worse. The superlative form is worst. Now let's go to topic number two of this session, that is to study some of the important punctuation marks. These marks are the colon, the semicolon, the apostrophe, and the inverted commas. Now let's study these punctuation marks in details. Number one, the semicolon. The principal use of the semicolon is that it is used between equivalent or independent parts in a compound sentence, the clauses which are not joined by a coordinating conjunction. You know, a compound sentence. You know, any compound sentence should have two clauses. These two clauses are independent clauses. Both of them are independent clauses. These independent clauses should be joined together by a comma and a conjunction. Sometimes we don't use the comma and the conjunction to connect the two clauses. Instead of the comma and the conjunction, we have to use the semicolon. For example, he was ill, semicolon, he was taken to the hospital. So instead of the semicolon here comes instead of the comma and the conjunction. So he was ill, comma, so he was taken to the hospital. So instead of so and the comma, the preceding comma, we have to use the semicolon. Another example, the teacher has a good sense of humor, semicolon, nevertheless, he is a strict person. Now, this is about the semicolon. Let's go to the second punctuation mark, the colon. The colon means as follows. It means as follows. Its main use is to introduce a list, frequently after words such as following or as follows. Frequently, the colon is used after these two words, as follows or as following. For example, the garden has only four flowers, colon, roses, lilies, tulips, and jasmines. So the colon here comes before a list of flowers. What are the kinds of flowers available in the garden? These four kinds of flowers: roses, lilies, tulips, and jasmines. Now let's go to the third punctuation mark, which will be taken here. It is called the apostrophe. When studying the apostrophe, you have to differentiate between the apostrophe and the comma. The comma has its own uses. We studied the uses of the comma previously, and today we'll take the apostrophe. Apart from indicating position. Now, this is the main use of the apostrophe. It indicates position. Ali's house. When you say Ali's house, you have to write Ali, apostrophe, and S to indicate the position. This house is for Ali. Simmer's school. This school is for Simmer. Also Simmer plus an apostrophe plus an S. The girl's toys. Also here, these toys are for the girls to indicate the position. But apart from indicating position, the apostrophe is mainly used to indicate letters in a contraction. This is also a very important use of the apostrophe. It is used in letters or instead of letters in a contraction. For example, who's there? Who plus an apostrophe plus an S. Who's there means who is there. This is a contraction. One letter is omitted. Instead of that letter, we wrote an apostrophe and then S. I can't come. Another example. I can't How can you write cant? C-A-N apostrophe and T. So the apostrophe here is written instead of two letters. The original sentence is, I cannot. So the word not, N-O-T, two letters are omitted, N-O. Instead of these letters, we wrote the apostrophe. The apostrophe is also used, now the third use of the apostrophe is, it is used to form plurals of figures, letters, and signs. You know, we studied that in pluralization. I told you that in order to change the letters of the alphabet and also the numbers into plurals, into plural, you have to write or to use an apostrophe and S. For example, there are 3 9s, 27s, and 2s on the page. There are 3 9s, means 3 numbers of 9. 27 ns, means 27 letters of N. And 2s on the page. So this is an example of using an apostrophe to indicate the plural form of letters and numbers. Now let's go to the last punctuation mark which shall be taken in this session, which is called inverted commas. Now inverted commas are used in writing. Writing what? In order to what? In order, number one, to show where a quotation begins and ends. You know, these inverted commas are also called quotation marks. We have two quotation marks. The first one is called an opening quotation mark. The second one is called a closing quotation mark. So to tell us that this is the beginning of the quotation and this is the end of the quotation, they enclose the original words of the author or the writer or speaker in direct speech. For example, he said, I am going home. So I am going home should be written between two inverted commas because it is the original speech by the speaker. Indirect speech, see the indirect speech, he said that he was going home. The indirect speech is written without inverted commas, only the direct speech. Another example, he said, I have a headache, I'm going to bed. Now, I have a headache, I'm going to bed should be written between two inverted commas. The indirect speech for this is, he said that he had a headache and that he was going to bed. So, in the indirect speech, no need for inverted commas. The last point about inverted commas is that sometimes inverted commas are used around the titles of books, plays, or songs, or around a word or phrase that is being discussed. For example, he told the teacher that he had read Shelley's Ode to the West Wind. You know, Ode to the West Wind is a title of a book written by Shelley, so it should be written between two inverted commas. Now, let's have an exercise. Rewrite the following sentences, adding punctuation and capitalization where necessary. Number one, it doesn't matter to me, said Ali laughingly. Now here we have direct speech. Because of this, we have to write the original sentence said by the speaker in two inverted commas. They should be enclosed in two inverted commas. What is the original source's speech? It doesn't matter to me. So one inverted comma should be written at the beginning of the sentence and another after the word me. And we have to begin it with a capital I because it is the beginning of the sentence. It doesn't matter to me, comma, said Ali. Ali also should be written with capital A because it is a name of a person. Then after laughingly at the end of the sentence, you have to write a full stop. Number two, his weaknesses were several laziness, lack of talent, and a short temper. Now here, you have to separate these items with commas. First of all, you have to begin the sentence with capital H in his, the beginning of the sentence. His weaknesses were several laziness, comma, lack of talent, comma, and a short of timber, full stop, at the end of the sentence. Number three, Shakespeare's famous comedy, The Merchant of Venice, is about a Jew who lived in Malta. So Shakespeare's famous comedy, what is the title of that comedy? The Merchant of Venice should be written between two inverted commas. Is about a Jew who lived in Malta. Malta should be capitalized, capital M, because it is the name of a town. And also you have to end the sentence with a full stop. Number four, as Ahmed, Yusuf, and Talal ran towards the farmer's father, they couldn't avoid crying. So as should be written with capital A, as, capital A, the beginning of the sentence. Ahmed should be written with capital A because it is the name of a person, comma, Y for Yusuf should be capitalized, the name of a person, comma, and Dalal, T, should also be capitalized, ran towards the farmer's father. You know, farmers, before S of farmers, you have to write an apostrophe to indicate position. The farmer's father, comma, they couldn't avoid crying, a full stop at the end. Now, number five, don't you know enough to stop? He asked. Here we have direct speech. So the original speech by the speaker should be written between two inverted commas. And you have to begin also with capital D because it is the beginning of the sentence. So an inverted comma, then don't, D capital, the beginning of the sentence. Don't you know enough to stop? Question mark, the second inverted comma. He asked, a full stop at the end. Number six, we visit Aden every Friday in November. We should be written with capital W, the beginning of the sentence. Aden should be written with the capital A, the name of a city. Friday should be written with capital F, it is a day. November should be written with capital N, it is a month. And there should be a full stop at the end. Okay, my dear students, that was our last point in this session. It was the last session in this course, English 101. I hope that you get benefits out of these sessions. I wish you all success. Thank you very much for listening to these sessions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللغة الإنجليزية واحد الإعداد والتقديم الدكتور بليغ الوصي. الهندسة الصوتية المهندس محمد العليكي. الإشراف الدكتور سمير الشميري والدكتور محمد السيد. الإخراج رياض المحيا.